out of darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we've been talking over these last several weeks what it means to be stewards, but we've been looking at what it means to be stewards of not our money per se, but our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This morning we consider what it means to be a steward of our strength. And our understanding with all of this has been that if we work on these inner things, if we allow God to lead us in these places, then the outcome of our lives, the way our lives will naturally produce, will be by being wise stewards of time, of talent, of treasure. And so this morning we turn to this idea of becoming stewards of our strength. And I just want to say, well, what do we mean by strength this morning? Well, this one's not very tricky. It means might. It means power. It means what we would typically understand strength to mean. But let's look at a few verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. And what is, remember, this is the prayer that Paul is praying. And remember, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. And he's talking about how God can provide us more than we can ever imagine. And within that prayer, he speaks to the power of God for those of us who believe. That there is a power in the Lord, the strength of the Lord that is greater than we can ever imagine. The power of God within us. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separation from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, the point of putting this verse up there isn't to necessarily focus on the destruction and all of those things. But look at what we are separated from if we are separated from the Lord. We're not just separated from the presence of the Lord, but we would be separated from the glory of his might. And so then we flip that to understand that when we are in the presence of God, that those of us with faith in Jesus Christ, who are in relationship with the Lord, are then also within the glory of God's might. There's a way that God is desiring that we tap into God's strength and power. A strength and power that is made and given to Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and love and wisdom and might. Honor and glory and blessing. The power of God Almighty, made present in Jesus Christ, and through Christ made available to us. And so this morning, as we talk about being stewards of strength, what we're really talking about is being stewards of the strength of the Lord that is within us. Being stewards of God's power made available to us in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few key principles that I hold that I want to share with you as we step into this. And we're already developing this. God is the source of this strength. God is the source of this strength. Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That when we talk about God's strength in us, we are putting that up against oftentimes our own strength. But it's God's strength within us that we're turning to, that we're becoming stewards of. Now, we have a tendency, we talked about this last week, we have a tendency of humans to do things on our own strength, in our own power. But one of the key principles is that this is God's strength and power, and that it is within us. Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect. understand our own limitations, when we are stepping into things that seem so much bigger and beyond ourselves, it's then that the power of Christ dwells within us in such a rich way that we can live out of God's strength and not our own. And Paul saw the blessing of that, to the point where he says, I'm going to praise God for my weaknesses that cause me to turn to the Lord, because it's then and only then that I truly tap into God's power in Christ that dwells in me. This is kingdom thinking, the kingdom way of understanding power, very different than how we often think of what it means to be strong. God's power in us. And it manifests in our spiritual lives. Now, I would say this is the only way God's power manifests in us. I mean, certainly God gives us power and strength to provide comfort, to give us perseverance in the midst of difficult times, to help us endure the trials and tribulations. Sometimes God can give us physical strength if he desires to work a miracle through us. But on a day-to-day basis, it's this understanding that we've all been given these gifts and that it's God's power working through us when we live out those gifts. Paul in the letter to the Corinthians says, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God everyone. It's the same God providing the power, the energy to activate these gifts that have been given to us. Given to us to serve God and others. For the gifts he gave were some of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the filling up the body of Christ. These spiritual gifts that we've been given, from which power of God is the source, are given to us to serve God and to serve others. And we can do that with all of our life. Because all of our life lived in Jesus Christ is ministry and service to God and others. Sometimes we have a tendency to think of spiritual gifts like, well, when I'm singing at church, or when I'm out serving the church in this way, or serving the world in this particular way, then I'm living into the spiritual gift, and then I can tap into the power of God. But that's different than when I clock into work at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. And one of the things that Scripture teaches us, we see it in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father for him, is that all of life is an opportunity to serve God and others in every capacity, with all of our passions, with all of our gifts. And what often makes those spiritual gifts is that we are invoking the Holy Spirit to bring God's power into our lives so that the way in which we are serving God and others is in the power of God and not in our own strength. And so a few principles. And now the parable of the talents. When this parable was written, the word talents, and you heard this, if you read it, you're probably familiar with this, it spoke to a specific amount of money. So this parable, in its original context, was about a master who gives servants a certain percentage of his wealth and resources to be stewards of, to care for. Now, Holtgren, in his commentary, The Parables of Jesus, tells us that while that certainly was the meaning of this parable, and that's how it would have been understood, today in our culture, when we hear the word talents, we often attach that to our gifts. truly begin to understand the meaning behind this parable and some of the harshness that we hear in it, you really have to read it in the context of the parables around it. And we have to keep in mind that this is a parable, which is to be understood and applied very different than other types of teachings in Scripture. But it does speak to Christian responsibility, and it does seem to speak to this time period that we are in now in between Christ's first ascension and Christ's return. And the understanding is that we, as servants of Jesus, have been given certain talents, certain things to be used in this world to serve God and others, and we have a responsibility to do that well and to do it faithfully. And so the next key point is to notice that faithfulness is the measure. This is what the first two servants are commended for being faithful, for being trustworthy, for carrying out the responsibility that was given to them by their master as their master's servant. They were faithful because they used what was given to them for a purpose. And for a purpose, they gave honor and glory to the master. They invested in them. They got in the game, so to speak. They at least tried. Now, the first two servants were successful. I would love to see a fourth servant who was given a talent and he went out and he tried to do something with it and he lost it. But he came back and said, "No, Master, I lost your talent, but I was faithful and I went out." And I think that he would have been saved. Well done, good, faithful servant. Because what we have in this parable is the master pitying those who went out and got what they needed and invested and sought to be faithful with the one who did it. With the one who took the gift and just, in essence, set it aside. And so the third thing I want to make in terms of points about the parable itself is notice the relationship between faithfulness and goodness. These first two servants took a risk with the talents that they've been given. And the third servant risked nothing. Didn't even take enough risk to go invest in a nice savings account that wouldn't have a lot of return, but bear no risk. Wouldn't even risk that much. when we think of God, when we think of the Lord, the way we understand God, the concept of God that we have within us, has a direct relationship, I believe, with how we are going to live and live faithfully as stewards, serving that God. If we think of God as being harsh, as just waiting to zap our every mistake, then I think that it can bring an effect on how we live our lives, and that we tend to live out of fear. We tend to not want to take risks, because if we take a risk and we slip up, hey, what's that God going to do? If and when we have that concept of God. But I wonder, how might it be different if we're experiencing the loving God? If we're experiencing, out of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit within us, the loving Father who gives us these gifts and talents and says, go, use them in service to me and to the world. Take risks. Live out your faith. Get out there. Get in the game. And we understand that our God is a God who's encouraging that. It isn't just encouraging it, but created us for this reason. Calls us out of the world into the kingdom, equips us with these talents, and then sends us back into the world to live freely in and through Him, to serve the world, and to serve Himself. And what I want us to again begin to understand this morning is that when we think about being stewards of our strength, I don't think most of us think, oh, I need to do some serious inner work. I need to do some serious soul searching. I need to do this deeper work of what it is that I do believe about God and about others and about myself and about this world. And I believe that all of this has incredible bearing on being stewards of our strength. Out of living out of our talents and using the gifts that God has given us in service to God and others. I want to step back to the core longings that we've talked about many times. These desires that we are all within ourselves, that I believe are true of all humanity. We have a desire to belong, to know that we belong. We have a desire to love and be loved. We have a desire to be understood by somebody. We have a desire to be secure and to feel security. We have a desire to feel significant to others and to the world. We have a desire to have a purpose. And God created us with these desires because these desires are meant to be used by God to help propel us into the world. In service to God and others. But do you see how that when we don't have these things being met in our relationship with God and others, that they can throw us off in such a way that perhaps we don't take this out of our faith? I mean, if I don't feel secure in my life, the last thing I'm going to want to do is take this. If I don't feel significant, the last thing I'm going to want to do is go out and make a difference in the world with the talents and the gifts that the Lord's given me. If I don't feel the love of God, how am I going to live a life of freedom in Christ? If I don't know that an experience of longing that's met in the Lord And yet, if I don't feel that sense of purpose coming from the Lord, it's going to be really hard for me to step out of it. So, part of being stewards of our strength is to work on these deeper things, these deeper questions. And that's what I, in essence, want to leave us with, to consider and think about this morning. I think maybe so. And I think the other church is well right here. I never bring that in. But we will pursue. And may the reflection for us this morning. I wonder if we were honest with our lives, if we were to consider the dreams and the passions and the hopes that God placed within us, what if we went back and considered some of those desires that and frankly, we were probably better in tune with what the Lord had for our lives than we are now because we weren't, it wasn't muddled with all the stuff of the world. If we went back and we started to think about some of those things, some of the gifts that we had, things that we believed that we were good at because God gave them to us, I wonder how many of us would say, that very that if we think about the talents that we've been given, like the third servant, we take them and we love the whole and we put them on. And I wonder, are they tied to our dreams? Are they tied to our passions? Now I understand in our lives and we need them. I believe there's a big difference in setting some of these things aside for a season and digging a hole, putting them in a hole, and covering them up for what could be a lifetime. And then I wonder this. If we could name one or two of these things that perhaps we've buried, I wonder if we could think about this. Did I bury those out of fear? Is it out of fear that I bury these? And if it is, I wonder if I can name that fear. Now, for some of us, if we dig deep enough, it may be fear out of a broken concept of God. The way we've always conceived God working in our lives and in the world. And out of a place of brokenness, the way we perceive that has caused us to fear God in an unhealthy way. And set aside our gifts and talents. But the fear could be so many of us. Fears of failure. Fears of not providing because we took too much of it. Fears of using my time in ways that just may not be fruitful in the eyes of others that care about. Some of us may have buried gifts out of fear of our parents who told us that these weren't worth pursuing. You're not going to make a good living by pursuing these. What are the fears? What are the origin of these fears? You see, the deeper we can work with each of these questions, the deeper the Holy Spirit can take us into that place where Christ begins to renew. Bring Christ's strength into us. Help us get to that place where perhaps we can begin to undig. These fears may come out of a lack of security or significance or purpose. Those areas of our lives where there's prolonging work in. And so we walk gingerly in this life because we're not as whole and healthy and complete as we could be. And we are healed and whole. Out of that sense of shalom, a biblical concept mentioned in that. A mighty fortress is our God. What Jesus teaches us in John 10:10. The Satan comes to try to destroy and steal and rob us from things. And this is one of the ways Satan's trying to rob us. By convincing us that this is worth it. To the point that we bury it, shove it aside, and pursue everything in our life. Let's be honest, some of those things, in the eyes of the world, this may be more responsible. Is it what we've been wired to do? Is it what we've been created to call? Is it the way God's given us to serve himself and others in this world? These are the questions we need to ask. And then finally, I would ask this question. What assurance do I need from Jesus to give up this world? It's like, all right, if you're sitting here and you're like, all right, something's being happened to me. Like, I get something over here that I would love to pursue, but I need a little bit of help here, Jesus. This is where strength of the Lord can come in. This is how we can pray into that. This is what I believe to be true about this. I'm not sure that the assurance that we're going to get from the Lord if we ask this question is, oh, dig up that talent, go invest it, and I will bring it back to you too. I'm not sure that's the assurance of the Lord. I do think that the assurance that we can get from Jesus is, go. Go in faith, take the risk, allow me to walk alongside you, allow my presence to be in you and with you. And I assure you that in me you will find a sense of acceptance and belonging. I assure you that in me you can find a sense of being loved. I assure you that in me you can be understood, that you can find security, that you can find significance, that you can find your purpose. And I assure you that in me, as these areas of your life become more and more rooted in me, a little bit of time within you will come the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord to step into our faith, to take our risk, to serve God and Jesus. I would say, as that begins to be uncovered, continue to ask Jesus for the strength to carry on, and then ask others, one another, me, those around us, be encouraged to stay true to that place. Now, some of you may be looking at me like, hey, this would be great 30 years ago. Let me say this. If you're alive and well and breathing and here this morning, God, if you are in this place, Lord, where there is fear, I pray that in Jesus' name your perfect love will drive out that fear. Increase our faith. Help us to take risks. Lord Jesus,